Welcome to the Lost Levels Podcast, and this is Dark Blue speaking. I know it's kind of rare because I have not been here since God knows when he birthed Adam and Eve, okay? I have not been here ever since. I don't even know. I don't even recall, and I don't remember. Only thing I know that this is podcast 246. You should have saw me guessing. I said 241 the first time, and I said 250. It was very bad. Oh, 256. Oh, my goodness. But yes, this is podcast 246. We will be discussing The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword for our monthly. It's so bad. Monthly podcast for the month of December. So, tagging along with me is Super Zamba Z.
Yes, hello.
And no one else. It's only us two. So we have to talk about this good old game with its first introduction of motion controls and all that good stuff. So let me just give a synopsis of Skyward Sword. In this game, you have Link waking. He's in a Knight Academy's little school up above the clouds in Skyloft. All hell breaks loose when a tornado comes out of nowhere, whips Zelda from the sky to Earth. Yes, she landed on Earth, Plymouth Rock. She landed on Plymouth Rock, okay? This time, she wasn't Dr. Martin Luther King. Plymouth Rock didn't land on her. And come to find out, I hate this person name, by the way. Gurahim, I always be so rude and I say Gayram. Gurahim, he kidnaps her and all this such. Link got to go through, he got to go through the clouds, back to Earth, and all this nonsense. Didn't rescue her and defeat the Mize, who from like point A onward until like probably the end of the game, you finally realize his name is Demise on the prison.
So actually, by the way, spoilers, this is a completely spoilers podcast. So if you listen to the 2 minutes, whoops, because you kind of heard some of the important stuff. But yeah, that's just an FYI. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's gonna be spoiler central. Therefore, you should have played the game already. Heck, it's been out for years, and I bought the game on day one. I told you about that time when I had to go all the way to, I had to walk to Walmart because freaking GameStop didn't have the piece as usual. That's why I don't go to GameStop. The motion control.
Oh, so you bought the bundle with like the gold Wii remote?
No, because I didn't pre-order it. I forgot to pre-order it, and they only had one in stock. One. Let's say they had a pre-order of 500. They ordered 501. So they get out the 500 pre-orders and only sell one. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. They only sell one. One.
So random.
Ugh, pisses me off. That's why I don't go to that store. Last time I threw in the bomb it. But nevertheless, for Skyward Sword, let me give a general, not general summary of my opinions, but more of less. The things that make me say yay and make me say ooh, and the things that make me say rrr. So, the ooh part, I love the graphics first and foremost. I thought they really, really did well with the graphics on the Wii of all things. Because you know how the graphics can be bombastically Mario Party 8 syndrome, or it can be good like this game. I found the one thing that kills me, I don't mind backtracking, but when there's only like 5 areas and out of 5, 4 main, it's like, I miss like the Ocarina of Time where you have Gerudo Valley, Lake Hylia, Zora Domain, you have Hyrule Castle Town, Lon Lon Ranch, and all them other good stuff, Forest Meadow, and all them things. This one, you basically go to Elden, Lanayru, Faron, Faron Woods, Lanayru Desert, which it was an ocean once upon a time, not long ago, and Elden Volcano, I loved one mission about it, when you had to do that, it was like you had to do a stealth mission. I loved that one.
Yeah, okay, so, see, that's the thing, I really liked that too, like, that was a great stealth mission, but where it was placed in the game made me hate it, because I've been here. That's the third time you come back to that area. You're just wondering, why on earth am I doing all this again? And it just felt so pointless to be revisiting this area and just doing more padding, more things to make the game longer. It's just, that's what killed it. And That's the biggest problem with this game, is that it has really... It did a really good job with the story. I mean, as much as a Zelda story can go, it did a really good job. It did, in my opinion, a really good job with the motion controls. I really enjoyed them, actually. Some people didn't. Some people said it didn't work. I really enjoyed it. It had a lot of good aspects, but the worst thing was some of the gameplay and the backtracking, and just the world. Because the world is interesting, but it is not like any other Zelda where you have the sense of exploration, or not even just sense, but you, there is no exploration. It's all very linear, and that's what kills it for me.
Yes, it's a street. Like, it has open, it's an open area, but the area is literally limited, so it's like, you can have a big old circle, but you're walking through a court. So you're not exploring the circle, you're just walking on a straight line. That's how the areas are built. And, yeah, the game, it does have padding, because that whole stealth thing's padding, because really, there was nothing to do in Elden Volcano except go to meet the dragon.
In that whole area of the game, that section, you had to go back to Farronwoods, and it was flooded. Oh, my, that was me smacking my head.
This is me off.
Oh, the worst. That's actually the worst part of the game for me. The flooded woods.
Oh, my. When I come back and find it was flooded, I'm like, okay. Well, first and foremost, Five was like, oh, there's something happened. Change in, what's the word called? Physical, whatever. I don't know, like, the little science techie word. But then when you come back, it's flooded. Okay, it's flooded. Then you have to collect those tadpole notes. Oh, my Jesus. When I tell you, this is padding to the 11th degree, and it was so... It wasn't even tedious. It was just, why? And the question was, why? Why? Exactly. It was so stupid. It's more like a mini game more than something you literally had to do. And then after, you just get the song, and you're like, I just came here just for only that. Like, it was nothing else you can do except that little crap. And it was annoying.
And it sucks because one of my favorite parts of this game, and to be honest, the entire series, is when you finally do get all the parts of the Song of the Hero and you play it and you learn that the Song of the Hero is the main theme of Zelda. Like, that is one of my favorite moments ever. That it was just so cool when I realized what I was hearing. But in order to get there, I had to do all this baloney, all this running around, just doing essentially nothing. Just padding to make the game longer. This repetition in this game really hurts it so much, because you go to the woods, you go to the volcano, then you go to the desert, and then you do Sacred Temple, and then you do it again, and then you do it all over again. And then in between there, you do things like fight in prison 3 times.
Oh my God, it's annoying. It is annoying knowing that you have to fight. It's like, really, really, really. It just, you be tired. And then after, like, nothing changes, and you have to fight them over.
And it's not like the first battle was like, ooh, that was really awesome and fun. The first one sucked. I mean, it wasn't interesting. It was kind of, it was meh. And then you have to do it again and again, and then you think about things like the Silent Realm, which I like and they're cool, but I have to do it again and again and again, and then you do it a 4th time again. They tricked you. You thought you'd only do it 3 times, you actually do it 4.
Yeah, then after, when you do the lightning rounds for the Thunder Dragon, you gotta fight in prison over again.
And just like, even Ghirahim, you fight 3 times too, which I like that each and every time, but like, there's just so much repetition in this game. It's too much.
He was a boss, and he was the boss in it was Skyview Temple, right?
Which I actually really liked that. I liked that he was the first boss there. Like, that, they never do that. I like that they switched it up, but.
But he was a boss in Fire Sanctuary as well.
Yes, he was.
I found like they didn't have no other boss, so they just used him. Because Fire Sanctuary, I love the dungeon because it's the only dungeon that is big. All these dungeons are so small, and it's so completely different from Twilight Princess. Twilight Princess, they were huge. This one, I felt that they was very small. The first one was like, I understand it, that it was small. But the Elden Volcano, that thing was okay. We're getting somewhere. Then after we, Le Nehru Mining Facility is tedious. Okay, I had the most troubles in that dungeon because I'm like, it's so odd that it is a dungeon, but yet it's literally a mining facility. So I find that actually unique. Then after, you gotta rinse and repeat the process, which makes no sense. Ancient Cistern is all-time favorite. I like the story behind it.
Yep.
And all that good stuff. Then after, you have to go to... Oh my god, where do you go to in the fire? I know it's not Fire Sanctuary you go
it's
back.
It's the ship, the pirate ship.
Oh yeah, the pirate ship for Le Nehru. Mm-hmm. I don't like that ship. I really don't. I like the boss, and I like getting to the boss, but I don't like anything about it because it's dull. I feel like you just enter empty rooms and all that such. I don't know. I'm sorry.
From what I remember with that one, one thing that I really like from this game is the concept of the time shift stones. Anything to do with that, I always enjoyed. And I think that temple dungeon, barely a dungeon, that used that mechanic, I think. If I remember. I have some background. I haven't played Skyward Sword since I played it in 2011, and it's 2016 right now. So,
yeah. That dungeon does have that time shift stone, because the whole area is time shift stone, especially the sea that turned to the desert.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And, oh, the Fire Sanctuary is the last one. Yeah, I enjoyed that one because it was big. I felt like I was getting my money worth for that dungeon. It wasn't like the last one, but it was big, and I liked it. Skykeep, I had most troubles doing the puzzle, trying to order the rooms more than anything else.
That was cool. I really liked that
concept. That concept was like, they can actually do that? it was very unique. I like it, actually. And... yeah, that was pretty much it with the dungeons. And then after, you got to go back to the sea. You go back to the sealed ground like 20,000 times, by the way.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, that was pretty much it. Except the side... there wasn't that many side quests. And if the side quest was there, it wasn't something of suspense. Because you had to get that damn Scrapper. That's his name. He's so damn rude. The Link. He's so rude.
I mean,
very, very rude, and it'd be cracking me up.
It sucks that we're being so negative, because I do have a lot of positive things to say about this game that I'm sure we're going to get to in a moment, but I'm going to have to keep riding the hate train, because I'm not done. Now you're talking about side quests, and they did try... So one big thing that I remember from before the game was released, the conversation that was being had was that... Skyfall. Oh my gosh. Skyloft. Skyloft was kind of like Clocktown 2.0. Like it'd be something similar where you have this town that's alive and there's people there and there's lots of side quests and whatever. And they did try to do that, but I think they ultimately failed on that because A, it did not feel like a living, breathing town. It felt very just, it existed. And everyone was stationary, and it did not feel real to me. The actual structure of the island felt very... it felt like it was created for the gameplay. Whereas Clocktown was... it actually felt like you were in a town, and you were exploring it. Whereas Skyloft, I felt like, well, this path exists here so that I can get to this little area here. Like, there's this random section where you have your Skyloft. Not Skyloft. What do they call the birds?
Loft wings.
Like, he gets imprisoned or whatever, and you have to go rescue him. Why does that area even exist? Just for that cutscene, that little section. Mm-hmm. The only reason that exists, I don't know, like the cave, the only reason that exists is so you could do that little part in the beginning. Like, that kind of stuff I didn't like. Didn't feel like there was much to do there, and it just felt very dead. Along with the entire overworld, which was the sky, where they put islands and stuff, and it was so boring, and it's the worst overworld in any 3D Zelda game, by far.
True.
They try to replicate Wind Waker a little bit, did not work.
And the side mission, I like the side mission with Colin, whatever his name is, the one with Gruesome, but no, Colin, when he gives you a love letter, and you have the choice of giving it to the toilet, or giving it to the girl, what's her name? Karen? No, it started K. It got to start with a K. Karan, whatever.
I didn't do this one. Dang.
Oh, and it was this one. You could give it to the toilet. There's a hand in the toilet. You give it to him. Or you could give it to the girl. But if you give it to the one in the toilet, he will get mad. But then after, he will be plagued when he have nightmares, basically, because the hand will be stroking his hair every night. If you give it to the girl, she rejects him. That's the funniest part. She rejects him.
Aww.
She rejects him and falls in love with that damn Pippet. She falls in love with him, and he's going to his room and cry forever. I be dying in laughter. That is funny. And Groose, we can't forget about Groose. Groose is like the epitome of the game. I be rolling because of him. Groose, he's just one of a, he's just that character that's like, he's just one of a kind. That's all I can say. He's one of the kind. Whereas you can't hate Groose. Groose, for me, he always was cocky. But then after, you just really, really start to appreciate him. Especially at the end when Emperor said that because of him, he helped. Actually, no, not because of him. He actually helped. He helped Link and everybody. So don't ever feel down about yourself and don't ever think you can't do anything. Which was, to me, words of enlightenment and courage and all that other good stuff. So, I don't know. He just a character, like, if you didn't think about, if you say Skyward Sword, more than likely some people may say Groose before Link. What do you like about Groose, Z?
A lot of what you said. I'm going to talk about the characters overall, though, that I think, along with the story, they are all very good. They're the best characters in the Zelda games. They're the most developed, and they're the most... I cared the most about these characters than any other Zelda game, so Groose included, absolutely. And I'm glad that they brought him down to the surface so he could do stuff down there, because that made it more interesting. That made like the imprisoned battles more interesting. Still super lackluster, but that made it more interesting. And his involvement in like the end of the game, and how he's there for Zelda, and how he changes his character a little bit. He's not such a punk anymore at the end. Like that's all good stuff.
I'm all here for the character development. Ooh, Groose. We were talking about Groose. Ian, that much it. Now, Gurham, I never liked Groose. I mean, not Groose. Oh, my God. I never liked Gurham. I never liked him. I'm sorry. I could not stand him. Him and his flamboyant ways, I can't. I did not like him none at all. He always pisses me off. Especially when you first meet him and then he popped in the back of Link. I was like, I can't. I don't like his presence. Then after you get to see his really true form when you start fighting him and he gets mad when he let his anger take the best of him. I'm like, I still don't like you. I don't like your face. I don't like the way you walk. I don't like the way you dress. I don't like your presence, your aura, your black and red diamonds. I'm sorry. It's kind of mean. But at the same way, I don't care.
I don't think Gurham is not really a character where you're like, ooh, I like him. You're supposed to like, you're supposed to love to hate him, but you just hate him. So you're not too far off there. What do you
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask, what do you think about just what he ends up being at the end of the game? And did you catch that? Did you realize that was happening? And did you like that twist?
For Gurham when Demise ate him up or stole his power? Because I felt like he was just a vessel.
Power. From what I remember is that Gurham is Demise's sword. He's the alternate master sword.
Oh, the sword! Oh, that's what I meant by Tickle's power. The fact that he was the sword, it's like this plot twist between Fi and him. Like, Fi is the sword. No, well, she's not really the sword. She just lives in the sword. And he basically is the sword.
Yeah, I didn't like that. It wasn't... I wish he lived in the sword just like her. Like, that would be cool. But he was literally the sword. I think I remember that, too.
And then it's like... It was so stupid. It was like, approach this thing. Remember, you can't come back. If you want to face me, come and face me. Also, fight. Come on now, Fi. And I love It seemed annoying with Fi when she gives you the analysis and she said 80%, 60%, 20%, 0%.
Yeah.
I actually love it. It's like a bit of overanalyzing, but I actually loved it. I really do. Although Minna is my best because she got the smart attitude and I love it. Yep. She gives me life. But I like the fact that I felt like she was more informational compared to others.
Yeah, she... a lot of people don't like Fi, and for good reason. I'll get into that in a moment. But I agree with you. I do like just like that technical talk that she uses throughout the entire game. I like that, but doing that sacrifices character development for Fi. That's the only issue. Is that she never changes really until the very end.
Until the end.
Yeah, until the end, she has nothing going for her, really.
Yeah, until the end, she realized. She realized, what was it, love or something?
Maybe she felt something. Like, she felt the closest to happiness like this. Or she could understand what happiness is or something in her weird technical way. I don't know. Something like that.
That's because it's like when you're bound to do something for someone, it's not happiness until the end. That made me cry. It really did.
Yeah, that was sad.
When we had to leave Fi forever, I'm like, really? Ooh. It was more sad than the other ones. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, when we left Minna, it was like, okay. When we left Navi and Ocarina of Time, okay.
You barely had time to think about that one.
Yeah, it was like, you were more than happy than others. And then for Tattle and... Majora Mask, then it was like, okay. And, well, I'm not even going to talk about, like, Wind Waker and all that stuff, because we had just had that red boat and all that stuff, so I'm not going to talk about that. But it was like, for this one, it was actually sad to see you and your little partner disband forever, okay? Let's put that out there, forever. Like Cardi B, forever. So... it was just sad. I did cry, which was so bad. I did cry.
Speaking of crying, there was one time where it was really sad. The moment when you go back in time, this is not like the first time, I think, when you go back in time in the sealed temple and you see Zelda there and she's like, she knows everything, basically. She knows she's Hylia and all that. And she makes a decision to like crystallize herself until the future, and like when Link's running towards her and she's not freezing but crystallizing, and the expressions on his face, like they did a really good job with expressions on their face, especially for Link.
They made him have life.
Exactly.
Every one of his faces was so funny.
And especially when Groose is coming down from the sky.
Oh Lord.
His eyes, like, boom, Donkey Kong style. Oh, my gosh.
The expressions they gave for Link. Because he don't speak, but I was happy that he had expressions, happiness, sadness, hurt, anger, and all the other stuff. I'm like, thank you for trying to give someone who doesn't speak something instead of nothing. So I actually love that. And did we talk about items?
No, we haven't.
Slingshot sucks. You had slingshot forever. Yeah. I mean, really. When you have a weapon forever, when do you even get... Let me think. When do you get... You get the bow so late in the game.
Yeah, let's talk about that. The pirate ship, I think.
Yes. So late in the game. I'm like, really? And you get the claw shorts. And you get the claw shots very late in the game, too. But that's, like, probably normal.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, dang. You get everything so late. And I'm not used to... Usually, you're used to getting the bow very, very early. And Twilight Princess is Goron Mines.
Yeah, that is early. Whoa.
Yeah. Ocarina of Time. Well, it's when you become... at least you had the... It fans out because you had the slingshot... For the child. But then when you get to adult, you get it right then and there.
And isn't Majora's Mask like the first temple? Woodfall, I think?
Yes, it is.
Jeez.
It is the first Temple Wolf.
Although Wind Waker, you get it. Is that Tower of Gods or is it later?
It's not Dragon Roost. It's not Forbidden Rule. That's the Boomerang. I think it is the Tower of Gods. I think
so. So that's like halfway, kind of.
Yeah, it definitely is the Tower of Gods. I see it. I see the room right in my head now. I do. I see the room. But this game is so late. It's so late. By the time you get it, and then they have this little feature where you could upgrade them, which I always felt like every time some weapons like you upgrade them, I feel like nothing changes. Like I don't know about the bow. I know the charge rate. Oh, that's one thing. The charge rate for it. Especially when you do the motion controls, you gotta pull it back to charge it. It wasn't tedious. It was like, do I really have to? And so, the bug. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say that. Go ahead.
Oh, the bug net. You have to upgrade it in order to be able to use it properly. Because when you use this standard, you feel like you catch nothing. First of all, it was hard to use. I always felt like I had to twist the remote to a certain way. Because I know you twist it and it catches a certain way so you can catch horizontal or vertical. But you had to twist it to make the capture. Oh, it was so confusing. At first, I didn't use it. I didn't want to use it until I had to. The shield. I think the shield, you literally have to buy each shield. Because that's one thing about this game. Like, when you're in the first dungeon, they give you the regular shield. The moment the second dungeon appears, it's a fire, so you can't use the wooden shield. They give you the iron shield. And then the next one, electricity, so they can't give you that shield, so you gotta go back to the wood shield. I found that annoying. And then the inventory, where you only can carry a certain amount of things. You have medals and pouches, adventure pouches, where you have to buy them. I liked it, actually, but it never was a case where, oh, I don't have this or that to carry. It was never that to be a case.
I do want to mention that I really like some of the steps they took with the items in this game. So one thing is that it's not in a menu. You hold B, and it's in process. You quickly select what you want. That I really liked, and I'm blanking on Breath of the Wild. I think they do the same thing there. I think. No, you have to go into a menu, and you have to pick, because there's tons of items in Breath of the Wild. So you can't do that. But another thing that I wanted to mention is that the upgrade system that they started doing in Skyward Sword, it was nice, like upgrading shields, upgrading different weapons. Like, I like that stuff. But what they're doing, Breath of the Wild, is going to be 100 times better. Like, I like that Skyward Sword took that first step, but now Breath of the Wild is really going in the right direction with it. So it was nice to see the start of that here.
Minecraft is going to be Zelda Breath of the Wild. Minecraft. If you play Minecraft, you'll be able to adapt to it. If you have not, you will be able to maladapt to it. But I never had a problem with upgrading things. It make you at least collect the other things. Make you at least go for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially those goddess plumes, because they were like, those are things that if you check your inventory, you only have like one or two. It's rare that you had three. Unless you did the lightning rounds crap. And the bosses, let's talk about the bosses. First dungeon, Garaham. I didn't mind it. At that time, I did not mind it.
Yeah. What overall, with the bosses, I like that each one, usually in a Zelda game, when I start a boss, takes me maybe 30 seconds to a minute to say, oh, well, that's what I need to do. And then I do it, and I win. With Skyward Sword, it wasn't that easy. You had to actually look at the boss and figure it out as you go. Try things, trial and error. Especially with Garaham. Like, I wasn't sure what to do at first, and I had to realize that, oh, he's looking away, and that's when you strike.
Yes, okay. and then there's one feature with Fi that if you think you can be slick and ask Fi, she'd be like, data processing. I'm like, really? I'm like, really? She's talking about data processing. You really got to give her time to analyze the boss. And then she'll blink and give you the full synopsis. And it'd be long. And I mean long. She go in depth. She probably give their birth. Of course, they give the element. The reason why they here. Critical hit. Damage the weapon. This, that. And it's like 8 whole text boxes. I'm like, thank you. I never had the case where I had to do it, though. But it been times that if I didn't know how to do it, I actually pressed it and give final input. But Garraham, for me, it was not hard. The moment you figure out what to do, it's not hard. But when you first facing it, you feel like you're fighting and then you just don't win. It felt like it goes on forever. Until you figure out what to do, then boom. The second one is the Pyro Rock. Elden Volcano. I don't know what the thing is called. It's the Pyro Rock. But he had to toss a bomb in his mouth and such.
Something like that. I think you're also pushing him down the slope.
Yeah.
As you're doing that, yeah.
I didn't mind this boss. I felt like it was easy to understand at first compared to the first one. I felt like the second one was way easier than the first boss.
Agree. Absolutely.
It was like a dumbed down version, which I actually enjoy. The third one, the Lenaire Mining Facility, the Mole Roach. Oh, I don't know. Mole Scorpion.
How do you remember the name? I was just going to say Scorpion.
It's something with mold. I know that. This boss was too easy.
It was, and I also knew what to do already, because when they first showed off Skyward Sword at E3 2010, and the playable demo was Farron Woods, you can find this boss in a cave there. So I've seen people play it already, so.
And hit, you fight the same thing again. you fight Wait, this.
That sounds familiar.
In Lenaire, when you in the roller coaster, when you're trying to find the boat at first, when you're trying to find the boat to get to the sand ship, you go to the it's literally where the roller coaster at.
The pirate stronghold.
Not pirate stronghold. Before that, when you're on the mining, it's before that because when you try to find the docking station for the boat, but you're on a mine cart and you gotta tilt it to make sure you don't fall off.
Oh, that weird thing. That was so random.
Yeah, then after that turns to the minigame, but at the end, that's when you get to see that it's a he's in the sand basically. You gotta face him again. So it's like you turn a boss into something that we just had to fight because really there's nothing in the damn place. There's nothing there except that you had to fight him and then realize you didn't need to go there. There's really nothing there. And yeah, that's pretty much it about that person. And then flip it around, my favorite boss, Ancient Sister, Kalarkis. I love it. I love that boss. The ancient automation toilet is what I call it. They call it an automation something. I call it an automation toilet. Because that's all Ancient Sister and feel like. It feel like a toilet. What is going on here? Oh! Oh my god. They're not as deep.
Sorry.
We're being quiet. Ancient Sister, I love this boss. I love the aesthetic of the dungeon. I love the dungeon, okay? I love the story, especially with the spider web. Are you growing up there? And it's like a little story in real life. What is going on?
I'm sorry. I sent a couple in a row.
Cannot.
I'm sorry.
And, Kalarkis, when you have the literally snatch... What do you... You snatch his, What is that, axe?
He has a bunch of parts. I don't know. He uses all sorts of weapons. He's got those sharp knives, and I think he does have a few axes.
Yeah, and you take it, and then you use it against him, and it starts attacking the heart. I love that boss. I really do. I love it. It's my favorite.
That is my favorite. And the music's awesome. And just the whole idea. And you just feel so powerful with the whip and the just the weapons you pick up. That's one of the best Zelda bosses for sure. Everyone says that, but everyone's right about it. So
yes, that I enjoy that boss. I really do. And the dungeon. We even talk about dungeons yet, but I like the dungeon that up top it looked nice. But at the bottom, it's like all hell breaks loose. It's like an inverted world, a yin and a yang of a world. I'm like, so when you go all the way down and you just see it's very gloomy and then you just go to the door, kill Ezzy, and you just go through the door and then you just pop up a world of decay. If you had the sacred shield, you'd be very nice because them damn cursed Balkans, whatever, I think they'd be scared of the sacred shield. So you have a good yay about it. But I just like the dungeon and the aesthetic and everything. That's my favorite dungeon. Besides Fire Sanctuary. Fire Sanctuary is just because it's big. But this one, I have a lot of reasons compared to Fire Sanctuary.
Yeah, this one's pretty easy. But I love the theme so much that I just enjoyed being in it constantly.
Yes, it's like the dungeon with two stories that are big. And then we go to the sand ship that has four stories, but it's so short. Because I just like that it has a boat, an ancient sister, and all that other good stuff. I just love all that.
Although, aren't there basically two versions of that temple? Present and past?
For which one?
Sand ship.
Yes, there is.
So that makes it a little bigger in that sense.
Yeah, but the boss Tentalius, whatever it is.
Oh my gosh, it's not me. I stopped a long time ago. I sent three in a row and...
Yeah, and it's resending those same three.
Why?
I don't know. It's resending the same three. But Tentalius, the fact that when you go into the area and then that you know it just comes out of nowhere. Because it's like a little room. So you're like, how am I going to fight? Because when they open the door, you can literally see inside the room because it already like preloads it a little bit. You're like, who am I fighting in this small room? Next you know, you just have tentacles, boom, 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 boom. And you had to fight your way all the way to the top to get to the boss and then fight him.
I did like that. You had to like escape the ship kind of as it's sinking. That was cool. I did like that.
That one, it's just that part I liked. The boss was not too demanding or hard or anything like that. So, yeah, it wasn't that much. And then we have Fire Sanctuary, which I feel like they didn't have a placeholder boss, so they used Ghirahim again. I was very mad. I wanted to curse because I felt like this dungeon was big. It gotta be something good. Ghirahim. He ain't good, by the way. He ain't good. He's the pain in my ass. But if I hadn't seen the second time, no padding. I feel like it was either padding or they ran out of ideas. I was not happy.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, as much as I enjoy doing that boss fight, it should have been separate from the temple.
And should we talk about mini bosses?
I don't even remember the mini bosses. If there are any that stick out, then yeah.
Not for Sky View Temple, or aka Forest Temple, if you ask the game coding. Forest Temple, because it was just that little. No, it wasn't that much. It was just like the little three headed thing. The three headed snake thing. And you had to attack all three. No, it's. It was a thing when you get past the Deku Bobbles that hanging and you cut them with the beetle. So you go through this long hallway because you get to the back area of the dungeon. Basically, get to the end of the dungeon. There's a shortcut you can take in front if you unlock it from the back. But if you didn't unlock it from the back, you got to take the long way around. And that's where the mini boss is at. Only thing you got to do is hit the heads. They line up and you got to swing accordingly. So if they diagonal, you swing diagonal because you got to kill all three heads at once in order for the thing to die. You don't remember?
Nope.
Okay, next dungeon. Elden Volcano. I don't remember. Oh, yes, I do because you had to get to the bombs. Right? Yes, It is a soft one because you had to get to the, you had to get the bombs, and it was in that room. Nothing memorable. So let's go to the next one. The Nehru Mining Facility.
I have no idea.
I don't think there is one unless we talk about those armor statues or whatever. Yeah, I think they talk about the armor statue. Nothing. Yeah, nothing. I'm sorry. It's nothing. Because let me just quickly check. I think it is the armor statues that you have to kill. No, because really you get the Gus Bellows, but it's not in the Gus Bellows is not in the, come on, help me. It's not like in a room where you had to face a boss. You literally just had to get up there, open a chest, and you get it. So I don't even think there's a,
maybe there's not.
Yeah. There's nothing here. So let's go to
Ancient Cistern. I don't know if there's one there either.
Yes, there was one because it was the thing that if you keep on attacking it, it blows all of its attack at once at you. It was like a Starfos, but the Starfos had four arms instead of two.
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't remember any of the mini bosses anymore. So
this dungeon, yeah, I don't think. Yeah, it is the boss, SZ. He is the boss. What are you talking about? He was the you don't remember. Let me just put it like that.
I don't remember anything.
It's the what? Oh, yeah. You have to get the dungeon weapon by fighting this SZ. The Star Master is what they call it. He has four arms.
Is it like a mini version of the final boss?
No, it's like a Starfos, but he has four arms instead of two.
Okay, I remember.
And you have to attack a certain way. So that's what that one. The next one is the sand ship. Is there one for the sand ship? Yes, there is the thing, the electric thing. I don't remember his name. Because he has a stupid name.
Skurvo.
Thank you. Or if you ask the other name, F something something number something 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 something. And you had to fight him because he was electric. You had to keep on knocking him to the back so he, does he fall off? Oh, no, he doesn't fall off. He's just something. And you had to keep on doing it for the nth degree. I hate that boss. I think I died the first time when I played that boss. I did die. Don't make fun of me, SZ. I definitely died. I died. And it was like, you had to face him again in Skykeep, by the way. But it's like the other version. Oh, Lord. Next one is it's Fire Sanctuary. And no, it wasn't the hands. So I don't even know. I don't even think there was one for this one. Unless you want to count the, that little digging thing. What they call the mole, not a mole rat, I forgot. There's so many mini bosses, though. I know that they have that dark Lazarfos. And yeah, the little worm thing underground. Yeah, and the Magmanos. Don't ask me how I remember that name. No,
that's exactly what I was going to ask. How do you know?
I know there was two in one room. And then there was one we had to take it and you had to literally ride up. And the last one, Skykeep, that has a plethora of them, by the way. It has too many. It has too many of them. So I'm not even going to name them, by the way. And yeah, I'm looking on the website right now. You was right, Ezzy. There's no mini boss. There was no mini boss for the Name Reminder Facility.
Okay.
So, and that was it. So that's all the mini bosses.
Okay. Do you have anything else to say about this game? I do have one more thing that I wanted to say.
But the Silent Realms.
Oh, okay. Let's get into that.
What did you think? I got so scared when I stepped out of there the first time. I got so scared and I ran back in there. I was like, I can't do this.
Doesn't it turn red? Everything turns
glaring red. It was good. Nice. You walk, get out the circle. Something tell me, don't get out the circle. I just heard Fi say everything activate. I didn't know it was going to activate like that. I got out the circle. I'm like, oh! And then I turned. There's something chasing me. I'm like, really? I was like, how the hell am I supposed to get this done? So I ran back in there. The one that gave me problem was Lene Roo. I cannot stand Lene Roo. Lene Roo, you got to do it in a set path. Because there's an easy way of doing it, and there's a meticulously harder way to do it.
Is that the one where if you, like, miss one, you're going to have to go all the way back through, like, the path and...
Oh, no, that's not Elden Way. You talking about the one with the slide?
Because Elden... That's also part of it. I just imagine that the desert was the one where... Like, if you miss this area, you're going to have to go through, like, 5 different things to just get back to that area.
Oh, no. I probably is for one part. I just know that you can sink in the sand. You can still sink in the sand. And there's, like, this big old landscape with thousands of people, with thousands of them damn guardians there. And you're only trying to get one little thing. And then after they had the jack-o'-lantern ones. They had like 3 of them, and you had to get the little thing in the middle. So I used to just activate one and just keep it running. I'm like activate and then just get the little tears of light and just keep it moving. I found it unique though. I actually liked them, except the lightning round when you had to do them over.
No, yeah, I like the silent rooms too. It's just you had to keep doing them over and over again. They just felt so. Like, I just want to get to the temple. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing an extra set of things? Granted, I liked it and I enjoyed it, but it just felt like added just to make the game longer as well.
I did not like the prize you get for the Elden Volcano, the fire shell earrings. I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, we did all this for a pair of earrings? I'm like, you can't be serious.
I forgot that he changes them. They're red. They're not blue after.
Yeah, all that just for earrings. I'm like, okay, but and then the other one, you get the water scale dragon water scale. I'm like, okay, because that did make swimming a lot fun. I mean, because you can't swim, period, in this game until you get that. And that's not a joke. You can't swim, period, until you get that doggone item from the Faron Silent Realm. Lenevra, you get the claw shots. Hallelujah, because they got all the targets there, and I said Elden wants those doggone earrings, and the one for, the one that they said you had to do 3, then turn around, you had to do 4, and the damn Skyloft got me pissed off, because I was ready to end the game by then, yep. Talking about, oh, you gotta do one more, and you get a red stone, mm-hmm. You heard me very well, a red stone. I was like, go to hell. I was so mad. And I knew where it goes, because the game doesn't tell you where it goes, by the way. They just say, do you remember? And you walk past the statue every time you gotta go to the damn water, to get to the waterfall. So it's like, duh, who doesn't know where it goes? Unless you have not been paying attention, period, to your surroundings. It's like, it's very obvious where to go. So, Silent Realms, it wasn't a big old yay, but was the last one, I was mad. I was ready to go, okay? I was ready to end the game already. But, yeah, that's all I have to say about those, because that's pretty much it. SZ, what was your final thing?
I wanted to talk about the thing that happens at the very end of the game, after the final boss, about the reincarnation. I'm so happy that they included that in this game, and they kind of gave a reason for the rest of the games. They said that Demise said that he will be reincarnated as... that he will be back as a different evil being, whatever. And that explains Ganondorf, and that's why he keeps reappearing. It's Demise coming back through Ganondorf each and every time. Then you have the spirit of the hero, which is Link. That's why you have this young... Link that pops up all over the place whenever the time is needed, the spirit of the hero, and then you have the blood, like the bloodline of the goddess, which is Princess Zelda, which follows like the now it's happening to me that follows the like the royal family and Zelda. So I love that explanation. I'm glad they included that to explain the rest of the series.
Yes, as they just pop up games and we just had to randomly know what timeline it's in. But this one was before everything, so at least it was a roundabout summary of all the other games. except like the first game that came out is on a different timeline and it's not the first one. This is so stupid. I don't know. I don't think they created it in mind. It just happened to flow like that. And now we have Breath of the Wild, which is coming out, and we're trying to figure out where the heck does it come from, because it has everything in Skyward Sword. I bet you it's right after Skyward Sword. No, it can't be, because it has Ganon, so...
Well, not just Ganon, but you have, like, the very clear Temple of Time from Ocarina of Time. It has to be after Ocarina of Time.
And before every other... It's, like, literally at the bridge, probably.
It's just so confusing, because there's that new trailer that came out, like... during the Game Awards, and they showed off more of like the castle, the Hyrule Castle ruins, and it looks very similar to Twilight Princess. So now I have a questioning, is it in that timeline? Or then you have the Koroks from Wind Waker flying all over the planet. There's just so many cool things about that game. I'm so excited.
It'll be a while when we figure it out. Thank you very much.
We'll probably play it in a year from now, next November, December.
Mm-hmm. And with that, I think that's it with the main topic.
So, yeah.
Oh, yes. That's it for Skyward Sword. We probably glanced over something minor because I made sure we did everything major.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty much it with this topic. So, now we just have...
Did you want me to go over some news that's been happening?
Yes, please.
Okay, so this one... It's gonna make Boo upset a little bit. Ukulele canceled on the Wii U. That was like one of the last few games coming to the Wii U, and it's been canceled. It's not coming to the Wii U. It's still coming to all the other platforms.
Because they want to stop production of the Wii U, which I don't blame them. Commercial failure. It was a commercial failure. It's not like commercial failure with like what's that thing called with the 3D virtual. Mm-hmm. What was it? Virtual Boy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's not like that. Weird disaster. I'm not talking about deep high expectations and they hit critical low expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned earlier before the podcast that it was a marketing failure, and I completely agree.
Yes, they did. They had eyes on some type of money, and that money, let's say they had eyes on $1 million, they only got a dollar. That's how bad.
Yeah. Oh. They did say, though, that they are looking to work with Nintendo to try to get onto the Switch. So that'd be really nice to have, especially if it comes out along with all the other console releases, because it comes out April 11th. So that's very close to when the Switch is supposed to come out, and it'd be nice to play it there. I'd love to play it there, so I hope it does get there.
Yeah, it's just... it's like every time, it's hard. It's like every year, it's hard to get a third-party game on Nintendo.
Hard, I mean, impossible.
Yeah, it makes no sense. It's like, when we used to have the GameCube, you had Splinter Cell, for God's sake. Splinter Cell, Chaos Theory, Pandora Tomorrow, the original. You have that. Okay, let's get into that. You have those three games. Rogue OPS. Like, come on now. You have Prince of Persia. Get it together. Prince of Persia. You had so many games that were mostly third party, and you wouldn't dare see them. For Nintendo, like, come on.
No, it's true. Yeah, once they hit the Wii, you got a lot of third-party shovelware, and then they just kind of disappeared after that. So, no, you're completely right, and it sucks to be a Nintendo-only console owner because you are limiting yourself so badly. You're missing out on so many experiences.
Watch Dogs. That's the only game that I was appreciative that came out for the Wii U. Watch Dogs. And I heard it was better than the PS3 and the Xbox. I was like, oh, yay. But I can't.
That noise you just made makes everything clear. It explains everything for you. Another piece of news, Super Mario Run for iPhone, what came out yesterday.
Oh, I heard some things about that. They are not mad about the game, but they said after three levels, you gotta pay for it. It's pay to play. But they said, why is it not? You should have just paid it from the get go. Why do you market it as free until you get played three levels and then it's pay for play? That's what some people felt like.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. I think it does make it clear, I think, from the beginning. I don't have an iPhone, so I haven't tried it.
It probably said in-game purchases available, like Google. but it says free, but it doesn't, it lies and say free, like Candy Crush.
Yeah, in that sense, yeah, I could see that.
What a shame. At least we have the Sonic game. They both like the same thing, really.
Besides that, there hasn't really been much news. We're all just waiting for the Switch presentation, which is a month from now. We're just waiting for that. And yeah, that's it for news.
Wow.
So what have you been doing?
Eating, working, and Borderlands. Aziz is evil in Borderlands, by the way.
Hey, don't start with that.
He's evil. You talk about you have seen nice Ezzy. You have not seen the torturous things he say and do in Borderlands. Okay? Ezzy is not even vindictive. He crushes you, literally.
Literally?
He crushes the competition, literally. There was no competition. It's co-op. Where is the competition?
I was just going to say we work together.
And he ends up crushing me to death. It kills me. I didn't think it was going to kill you. What do you think a crusher was going to do? What did you think it was going to do?
Okay, so for people who are confused, in Borderlands 2, which is what we're playing right now, there's this area, there's this garage where, what was her name? Ellie or Tina or...
Oh, Lord, what was her name?
I don't remember.
I forgot. But Ella?
Ella, something like that. She has a garage, and there's this giant crusher over there just to crush metal, squash it, whatever. And I noticed that there was a switch next to it. I was like, huh. Pressed it, and I watched the crusher, well, crush. And Boo's up there doing whatever, and I'm like, hey, Boo, there's a weapon in here. What do you think it is? And he's like, huh? Oh, let me go see. And he hops into the crusher, and I'm in there too. And he's kind of looking around. He's like, where's the weapon? And at this point, I already left the crusher, and I'm standing by the switch. Smash the button. The crusher smashes. Oh, my God.
Evil. You have to see the video. He looks at me. He turns to the crusher. And he asks the question. It was like someone evil. He really looked at me. He looked at the crusher. Turns to me. Look back at the crusher. Oh, Dark Moon has a weapon in here. Like, really?
You could see me plotting it without seeing my mind, without hearing me say anything. You could see the gears turning in my head.
Evil. I'm like, I was laughing because it was successfully evil. I didn't even think about it, but he thinks about it. I'm like, and I'm supposed to be evil.
But here's the thing, Boo. He is not evil from the get-go, but when he needs to, he will be. Let me tell you something he did. In this game, when you're fighting, you know, if you lose all your health, if your shield is gone and you lose all your health, you fall over and you slowly start to die. You can either kill another enemy while you're down on the ground like that to revive yourself or have a friend revive you. So we're fighting. This is after the Crusher, mind you. We're fighting and I fall. I lose all my health and I need help and there aren't any enemies for me to kill anymore. And so what does Boo do? Boo comes over, and he stares at me while I slowly die. Then he starts to revive me, and then he stops. And then lets me die in front of him. He watched me slowly die. So I don't know what's worth me getting him crushed instantly, or...
I wasn't the reason you lost all your health. You're the reason I lost all my health, and I didn't even have the chance. Crawl.
I made it quick and painless. You let me suffer.
What? Quick and painless? I wasn't the reason you had pain. You did it instant, and it was vindictive. Me, I just looked at you, and I thought about what you did. Crush me. Crush me, literally. And everything around that. And I was like, yeah, he can let this one out for a while, and he died.
So evil.
He died. I was like, I felt a little bit bad, but then when I thought about the crusher, and took it away. I was like, okay, I feel a little bit good. A little bit better.
I was just a little shocked that you would stoop that low. But anyway, actually, I'm going to quickly say what I've been doing because it relates to this and then go back to you. So yeah, we've been playing Borderlands 2. That's been a thing. We played Borderlands last month, and now we're playing 2, and it's such an awesome game. Such a fun game. I love switching out the weapons and trying all sorts of new things. It's a very fun co-op game. You can actually play with 4 people, so if anyone ever wanted to join us, well, give us a shout-out, maybe. We'll play. And as for me and other things, I have had some really big stuff going on that I'm not going to talk about, but I may talk about next week if anything comes of it. So I won't say anything now, but yeah, you can go back to what you've been doing.
That and work, a lot of work, a lot work. And I got cussed out from one of my student parents. She cussed me out. I mean, like, really cussed me out. I was like, okay. I didn't cuss out. I called my boss. Also, we had, let me tell you. Jesus. We had, are you serious? What is going on? Oh, we had a, what's the thing called? We had a party at my job, a holiday party. But the thing is, I'm trying to apply for my teaching certificate. I got sent a message that I had to go back to my former college. And the funny thing about it is that I was telling people, I have to go back to the college to get that. And then to come to find out, it's true. I really do have to go and get the doggone thing again. I was like, oh, I don't want to go. But when I went there, no, I had to catch the bus. I had to catch the bus and do all that good stuff. I get there, I'm like, where the heck do I gotta go? Because I didn't graduate from National Community College. I transferred in 2014. I transferred 2014 to Malloy, and I graduated at Malloy, magna cum laude, thank you very much. But so when I went there, I knew it wasn't the C building anymore because I knew I had to renovate anything. So when I looked down, I'm like, what is this building? But I went to the T Tower and I took the elevator down. So I took the elevator down to the lower level and I walked there. I looked in there, I got in the room. I'm like, damn, they changed everything around. They changed everything. It looks so beautiful in that building. They have everything in the same building. They have the bursa, registrar, placement exam, advisement, meeting with an academic advisor, health and things. They had everything in one building, which was so damn smart. Everything in one building, except I think the placement exam, you still had to go to the U building. But they had everything in one place. You got to type in your number. My number is so easy to remember, I don't even need my ID. When I tell you my number consists of all 7s and 1 6. All 7s and 1 6. 00. And then 2 numbers. 0 blank, 0 blank. And I just tell you, there's 3 7s and 1 6. I'm like, who can forget that number? But I got the number and everything. I went to, at first I was lost, so I stepped to the bursa lady. I asked her, I'm like, I haven't been here since 2 years. I'm stupid. So I got the ticket and they called, because you gotta wait for your number to appear. And they said, now serving R299. And that was me. So it was in R1, so I went to the register lady, so I had to fax my transcript in New York State. So when I went here, I was like, good afternoon, because it was afternoon, I was carrying bags, because I had to carry soda and such for my job. I remember when I was in the C building, because y'all was renovating here. She's like, yeah. I'm like, that's why I feel a little bit stupid. She started laughing. I'm like, I'm serious. I felt stupid, because I was like, I didn't know they have all this now. I'm like, I haven't been here since 2 years. And she like, you transferred here? I'm like, yeah, I transferred here to Malloy, and I graduated at Malloy. So I got my transcript facts there, and then I gotta see what else I have to do, because they already sent me a correspondence for that. And that was pretty much it for that day. So that's all I've been doing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's literally all. And Z, how you said what you have been doing?
Yeah, I've... Borderlands and then some other stuff that I'm not going to talk about.
Okay. Yeah. And with that, yeah, that's the end of the podcast. That I got to read the ending information. I'm going to read it like a teleprompter. You can subscribe to the Lost Double Podcast on iTunes. Make sure to leave us a rating and a review. It helps us grow. You can find all of our past episodes at our website, thelostlevels.marriedpartylegacy.com, and our Mario News and Community at marriedpartylegacy.com. I can't read this like a teleprompter. Follow our social media. We got too many, okay? We have the Lost Levels. Actually, no, Lost Levels NPL on Twitter, and we have the Lost Level Podcast.tumblr.com for Tumblr. YouTube user, the Lost Levels NPL, yes. We have the Facebook, The Lost Levels. We have all that good stuff. I can't read it like a teleprompter. I'm sorry, that's not me. You can do whatever you want with my social media except hack it, because I hack you back and make it seem like you've been hacking a federal bank. But besides that, 007 on Twitter for me, and I think 007 on Nintendo Network. I need to check that thing. And Dark Boo on YouTube. I see.
Super Zombies on Twitter, Nintendo Network, and YouTube. Still doing my live streams on Wednesdays. They've been really bad. I've been missing them, and I haven't been able to. I've been doing them at random hours just because my schedule right now is kind of crazy and all over the place. So I apologize for that, but they still happen. I try to get them done. I might have missed 2 weeks in a row. I think I missed 1 week. So it's too bad. Okay. Yeah, that's it for me.
Okay, and with that, that's the end of the podcast. Bye-bye.